Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 448, Extra Life 2014, recorded live on October 25th, 2014. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we are smack dab in the middle of our Extra Life live stream. 24 hours, we've been going on strong. We're wrapping up the last half of our live stream right now. For those that are tuning in live, you probably have heard earlier that we reached our goal of $500 raised for our Podtacular team. So way to go, guys. We did it. Yeah. Confetti, balloons, everything. Maybe I'll insert a grunt birthday party noise in there. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But yes, we reached our first goal, which is amazing. So during this podcast, if you're listening to it afterwards, sorry. But if you're listening to it live now, we're going to be giving away a grunt plushie as a thanks to everyone who donated to us, who helped us reach our $500 goal. And we have a new stretch goal of $700. At that point, we will be giving something new away as well. It could be a grunt plushie. It could be a Halo Mega Bloks thing. It could be, I don't know, a signed Halo journal from New York Comic Con. I don't know. It could be one of a number of things. So that's our new stretch goal, trying to just raise funds for the Children's Miracle Network hospitals. And so far, we've been playing Halo CE, Halo Reach, Halo 4, and we got some more stuff coming up later tonight as well. As we continue on our 24-hour live stream, this is the first time I've actually ever participated in a Extra Life live stream. I've donated to people in the past, but this is my first time actually donating, and so far it's been a blast. I've had a really good time for the time slots that I've managed to do so far. We had Hot Sauce on a little bit earlier doing some Halo CEA anniversary campaign. And he also did some Halo Reach multiplayer, and then we did some Halo Firefight, and we just wrapped up Halo 4 Spartan Ops. And we're going into the night with some Halo 3 campaign, Halo 3 multiplayer, a little bit of Halo 3 ODST campaign, I think Halo 4 campaign, and a couple other things a little bit later on in the stream. And we're going through all 24 hours. We're going to make it somehow.
It's going to be a long night. But it's worth
it. It's going to be a very long night. Oh, yes, definitely worth it. It's definitely a good cause for this. Extra Life has been one of those things where the gaming community has been very supportive and been very outreaching. And so far, I think they've raised over $3.7 million so far for the event this year. That number was, I think, like 3 hours ago, so we could have a lot more than that for Extra Life. But we're doing pretty good. Right now, our team is ranked 1,105th out of approximately 5,800 teams that are out there. So way to go, guys. We really appreciate all the effort that you guys have put forward to this. And we are looking forward to kind of helping blow it up for next year and all that good stuff. But as of our normal shenanigans when we do the podcast, we're going to talk about some of the IGN First news that came out earlier this week. We got some more info about a couple of maps, and we have a documentary that's coming out pretty soon, too. So we'll get to that information here pretty soon. But first, just kind of recap on the whole live stream, what we've done so far. It's one of those things that it's very good to kind of get that exposure out there just to show that gamers do care and that we do have a... we're not just people that are sitting in our basements and playing video games. It's something that is... it's a good cause. It's... a good friend of the show way back in the day, way back when Fumojob was doing it, Doc Adams, he started this charity event, and he's been going on for a while. There was kind of a close-knit group of gaming podcasters back in the day, and he happened to be part of that group. So not claiming that I have any connection to him, but Doc Adams has been around the gaming community for a very, very long time, and just the effort that gets put into Extra Life every year and just keeps growing and growing is just outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of people that are supportive of this. And the thing is, it's such a great cause. You know, I have a cousin that was, you know, really sick, and my little brother was really sick at one time. And Extra Life wasn't really a thing then, but there was a any money that goes towards a charity that can help save lives is something that people should really look into supporting. And it, like I said, like you said, you know, gamers are really throwing everything out there to make it bigger and better every year.
Right. And I was looking through the Twitch channel list earlier for those that were playing on Extra Life. There are a lot of channels out there.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton. There's a lot of big people out there, too, like Rooster Teeth that does it. And there's a lot of big names out there that are really supportive of this. It just shows you where everyone is at this time, you know, around this time of month.
Right. And Rooster Teeth is a big proponent of it. They do something huge every year. They actually have LeVar Burton in the live stream earlier, which is freaking nuts. He was the guy that's behind Reading Rainbow and the whole effort to bring it back and kind of come up with this way to educate kids kind of from a distance, bringing it back. And he was also one that played Geordi LaForge in Star Trek, for those who know him that way. So he's a pretty big, well-known person in the kind of the nerd culture, so to speak. So it's really awesome to have someone as influential as LeVar Burton supporting something like Extra Life.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
So I know we have a couple other of Halo people, some over from Griffball doing some streaming as well, a few of the people over there. But I haven't personally seen anything else going on for Halo streamers in particular doing anything Extra Life-wise. So I think I know there have been some other streams that have included Halo in their rotation of games, but I think we're probably the only one that is, or one of very few who are doing nothing but Halo for our 24-hour live stream, which is, I think, an accomplishment in of itself, really.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's people like a lot of variety when they're going through the live streams. They play a lot of different types of games. But personally, I like Halo. It's something that I play just about every day, so it's not anything not normal.
Right, and it's going to become even more than normal when the Master Chief Collection comes out in just 16 or 17 days, or however you want to count those days. It's going to be so exciting, but I have so much done to get done, or have so much to get done before then. Anyways, we're going to go ahead and move on to some of the news then. But again, for those that are listening here live, please head on over to our Extra Life team page. It is in right below the video on the Twitch stream. We have a link down there to our team page, and you can donate to any one of the three of us who are listed under there as part of the Podtacular staff. And just please help donate. It goes to a good cause. And for those that are looking to donate, you could donate to Biowolf, Hossost, or myself. All three of us are on there. So please consider donating if you haven't done so already to Extra Life in any other capacity. And I know we would appreciate it. I know the hospital network would really appreciate it. And just show them that gamers love kids. Because we do. We love everybody. But right now, we especially love kids.
It's true.
All right, moving on to the news. First up this week is we had a sit-down with Max Hoberman over on IGN First going through some Stone Town, which is the new Zanzibar for the Master Chief Collection in Halo 2 Anniversary. So we got a little walkthrough with Ryan McCaffrey and Max Oberman from Certain Affinity, and they walk through some of the new stuff and how some of the old stuff was still there. It's interesting because there was one point in the video when they actually showed the Gun Goose, but we actually saw the Gun Goose in the earlier video. So I'm guessing they recorded that one a little bit before they were playing to, and then they mixed up the programming to maybe not make it as much of a oops moment. But Stone Town has default Gun Gooses in them on the shore, and then there's, of course, you have your typical camp from, and you have the wheel. And I like the fact that they went back with the Halo 2 base style, where it's the full gate, it has the pillars in there. It's a little more close quarters feel instead of a lot more open like the Halo 3 one was.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the feel of this one, too. I mean, I went back to play Zanzibar on Halo 3, and it was...
Last Resort.
I'm sorry, but yeah, I definitely it was definitely it was a lot like more open, and I think I like the close quarters combat kind of better, in my opinion.
Which one?
I mix up with names right now. It'll come to me in a second. Wow. This is a blank moment.
Yeah, I'm currently confused too.
Yeah.
Anyways, but moving on, we have with the Zanzibar remake, Stone Town. There's also a few little new additions to the map that makes holding places or getting to places not as difficult, or being able to clear out some of the more well, like one of those places you can kind of camp a little more accessible. So Camp Froman, there is the rock slide on what I would consider the north side of the map or the base side of the map that you can actually hop up on and then walk down to Camp Froman. And there's another new little jump up from the beach wall side that you can jump up to Camp Froman. So there's a little bit easier pathways to get up there. That's a little, makes it, if that there's a sniper sitting up there and just kind of camping all day, it's easier to get up there and take him out instead of having to go up either one of those ramps, because it's a big bottleneck at that point. And it seems like for a lot of the maps that they've done for Halo 2 Anniversary, they've made accessibility and ways out a lot more prominent and trying to help balance out the way the map flows and the way that players are going to be encountering each other through objective game types, through Slayer game types, through any kind of situation that you could find in here. And while I think it's a good direction to take, especially for some newer players that may not have played those older style maps, I'm wondering how much it's going to feel versus not feel like the traditional multiplayer. I know I've heard a lot of people say already that it definitely feels a lot more like Halo 2, but A, it's not Halo 2, and B, how much of that feeling is actually changing with the changes that they're making to the levels?
Yeah, I don't know. You think it's going to be... I don't think it's going to be that much. I don't think it's going to change things that much. I mean, granted, like you said before, new play people are going to be able to experience it a little bit better. But I don't think it's going to change things that much to make the flow of the map a little bit better.
It still brings up... Because there are certain things that I know for Lockout. A lot of pro players know that once you have control of BR tower and sniper tower, there's only a few places that people are going to spawn. And now that the spawning might still be the same, but you might not know where they are because the cover's a little bit different. The pathways are altered just a little bit, so actually it's a little more defensible. And some of those places that are big control points on the map are a little more approachable if you need to come take someone out. While I don't think it'll affect the professional side or the really, really competitive side of Halo as much, from a casual perspective, it really opens things up and it gives a new perspective on how to approach the map. And it's like, well, if I'm in this situation, I actually have a lot more options to get out. So it's not necessarily easier to play, but in terms of knowing how you need to play and the certain strategy that you need to get out of certain areas, there's now a lot more opportunity. And it's not as much about skill anymore as it is about just being able to get out, if that makes any sense.
Right, yeah, I understand. I agree.
But as far as just the map flow, it's going to be very similar. I don't disagree with you there. I think that there's just some certain things that people are used to from Halo 2 that are going to be a little bit different and may throw some people off whenever you get into certain situations where it's like, okay, I remember this, and this, and this are the possibilities that can happen. And then you throw these in things like, whoa, I totally didn't expect that. It's going to take a little bit of learning to get to. Granted, I don't think it's very hard or if it's going to take very much to get used to, but it is something where it's not going to flow exactly the same way as it did before. Which we kind of know, but it's just one of those things to actually stop and think about, well, how does this actually differ from Halo 2? They're trying to make Halo 2 Anniversary, and they're trying to really honor the traditions of the map and the flow there, but granted, they're still adding new things in there for players to kind of help get out of those situations where, for competitive players, they know how to get out, or they know they're screwed, that they know they need to wait for teammates to do this, this, and this. Whereas for the more casual players, now they have these way out where they may not necessarily know that they weren't there before, but going back to if they were actually playing in Halo 2, they would be completely screwed. So it's favoring a little more towards the casual side, which I personally don't think is a huge issue for the competitive people. If they wanted to go block some of those things off, they could. But it is one of those things where I could see possible contention within the community. So, but anyways, moving on to some of the other changes that they made in Zanzibar, there's now a bridge that goes from the base up to the wheel. It's a similar kind of mechanism that is for the wheel bridge. You just shoot a little explosive thing, and then it pops down for you, and you can walk across it from the wheel down to the base, or from the base up to the wheel, that kind of thing. There is also a man cannon from the beach that goes up to the sniper wall. So opposite of the beach spawn, like you're still on the beach, and if you just keep on going straight without going into the wall, there's actually a man cannon that takes you from the beach up to the sniper wall. So that's a new added feature in there as well. And they changed the pillar layout from the four around the bomb and flag spawn to where it's just two of them. And that's supposed to be a little more, make it a little more accessible to get in there, but still kind of hold and maintain that feel. The button for the gate is actually now a button that you shoot. It's been moved towards right above the gate instead of from a control panel that you hit on the second level. Makes it a little more accessible and a little more easier to forge. And like any of the other buttons that we've seen in the Master Chief Collection, you can place the button anywhere you want to. So you could technically have a button outside the map, or you could have a button inside the map too, based on maybe whatever you forge in there, having a certain game type or a custom game that you want to play. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I like how 343 put that in there to where you can move it in different places. I think that was a pretty cool touch that they did.
And I'm hoping it's a sign of possible new forge things that they're thinking about doing in Halo 5. Interactive elements, switches, stage of maybe doing certain kinds of maps. Like, there's a lot of forgers out there that do really interesting things. And I think switches would want be one of those things where you can activate a shield door, or you can activate a pre-scripted door, or something like that.
Yeah, it's something that a lot of forgers have been asking for, is for certain things like that. And the interactive elements is something people ask for a little bit differently. You know, they would ask for, I can't really give examples right now, but it's something that the forging community, something that they really wanted to, they want in the next Halo. So I think it is them kind of testing to see where it goes.
I hope it goes well. I really do, because I know a lot of forgers who would like to see something like this built in where they can make their custom maps, use these items, and use these mechanisms that really will enhance a map play. And I really like the style of High Ground. I thought that was a really cool map in Halo 3, and it really catered to one-side objectives when the gate was closed, and then whenever you did the two-side objectives, or if you're doing Slayer or something like that, the gate was open. I think stuff like that is really cool, and it helps really focus on the game type that you're playing and not necessarily the map. It really caters to a particular style that you want to see played of a certain like amount of control. So having that gate closed on Zanzibar, having that gate closed on High Grounds is something that is going to reward you if you can defend it, but it's going to hurt against you if you lose it. And I just think those kinds of mechanisms in Halo does add another level of strategy that we just don't see in maps like Halo 4 anymore.
Yeah, I think that's what made the maps a little bit more unique too. You know, it's a little bit different in each one. Like you have the ice that drops from Lockdown, which is different from the ones from Zanzibar or the
Waterworks.
Waterworks.
I'm assuming you're comparing it to that.
Yeah, that's what I was. But yeah, I mean, it just gave things a little bit more of a unique feel, which I liked. I liked that a lot. You know, I like those interactive elements. And it was something that I really missed in Halo 4. You know, you just had like no interactivity with the map at all, which a lot of people aren't really concerned about that. You know, they're just there to play it. But I think it gives it a little bit more, I don't know, more pizzazz, if you will.
Right. I'm a sucker, I think, for the interactive elements, but I think it's one of those things that it would be cool to see it back.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Some of the other things on Zanzibar that they mentioned, Let's see, I'm trying to think if there was anything else. There was some graffiti that was on there. I can't remember if Zanzibar or Last Resort had graffiti. I thought Last Resort had some graffiti on the walls.
I remember us talking about that a couple podcasts ago. I think it was that it didn't have it on Last Resort, and it has it now.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, you're probably right. I just don't remember too much of at that point. I thought there was maybe not like very pronounced graffiti, but I thought there was graffiti of some kind. But I could be wrong.
I haven't really paid that much attention to it. I'll take a look and see.
Next thing up on the list is we had the Halo 3 documentary video that came out as well. They're going to be doing something called Remaking the Legend Halo 2 Anniversary. It's going to be a video documentary that premieres on October 31st on Xbox's Twitch stream. And there are two other premiere dates, November 1st at a certain time and November 2nd or 3rd, I think. It's a documentary featuring a lot of people from the studio talking about the time that Halo 2 was initially coming out, their memories there, and going up in the process of recreating or remaking Halo 2 Anniversary. It's supposed to be full feature length, so I'm guessing maybe 30, 45 minutes full of packed content with behind the scenes, interviews, all that kind of stuff. And this is also going to be available as a free download later on Xbox Video and Halo Channel come November 11th with the release of the Master Chief Collection. And this looks sick. This has the feel of a Bungie Vidoc, which is cool, because all the videos that they've put out so far, it seems kind of their own little spin off of doing informative video content. But what they're doing for this documentary seems like it's their first real take at what they could do for a Halo Vidoc. And I'm really excited.
Oh yeah, I'm really excited too. I mean, that was one thing that Bungie really got right, was the behind the scenes stuff, like interviews. And it's something I look forward to just about in everything. Let it be a video game, let it be a movie. You know, I want to see what made the outcome of this be. You know, why did this decision be made? Like, different things like that. It really, it lets, I don't really know how to describe it. Like, it really is something I'm looking forward to. And if it's a 30 to 45 minute video, it's something, it's going to be sick.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. It's going to be a lot of launch stuff comparing the community at that time versus how they went about really pulling the right people in, pulling people in like the Blur Studios and Certain Affinity to come in and remake these maps. I'm sure there's going to be some content in there about the whole decisions on what maps to include and all that stuff, the whole kind of back and forth of like, okay, which map do we want to get in there? Which map do we not want to get in there? And that's something they actually, Max Hoberman has been talking about in his video series with IGN First, is there's some maps where it's no-brainer this is going to be in there. But when they were talking about the Blood Gulch one, I think we may have mentioned this last week, is there was actually some contention behind using that map because it has been redone already in so many facets. It was Blood Gulch originally, then Coagulation, and then Valhalla was its spiritual successor, quote-unquote. And then you had Hemorrhage from Halo Reach, and then you had Ragnarok, which was the remake of Valhalla for Halo 4, so the spiritual successor to Blood Gulch. And in a sense, there was some thoughts that maybe people are tired of this map, maybe not, but I think just from knowing certain people in the community and seeing responses on Twitter, Blood Gulch is just one of those classic, this is a Halo map, this is the definition of a Box Canyon capture the flag map. If you want a flag map for Halo, the first one you think of usually is Blood Gulch.
Oh, absolutely. Another thing he was talking about in the live stream was he said that they were comparing it to, I think it was Lockout. They said it was either going to be one of those two. It was going to be Blood Gulch or Lockout, but they decided to throw both of them in there at that particular moment, which I'm really glad that they did. Another one that they talked about was Waterworks. Max Hoberman was not a fan of that map. He said that straight. He goes, he was not he was not a happy. No, it really saddened me. It really did. It's like, I love it.
You know,
it really did. I was like that is one of the maps. But it's whatever. You know, you can't have them all. And the maps that are in the Master Chief collections, they're perfect. You know, it's something that I have a layout for just about all of them, so I know them really well. And I would say probably my favorite that's out of there besides Blood Gulch, that because we've seen it a couple times, is probably Lockout. Blackout on Halo 3 wasn't exactly the greatest.
Not a lot of people
remake.
Were fans of that map. Yeah.
The scenery of it just, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I like the feel of like the moon and like you're over the water and stuff like that. That was really cool. But the initial thing of it was a flood. What was it? A containment? Am I saying that right? A containment for the flood or whatever?
Yeah, it was either like a research facility for the flood or a containment facility. Yeah, because in Green Room is basically those flood freezers, for lack of better words.
That's what they describe them as. Floodsicles.
Floodsicles. Well, there were no flood actually in them for a Lockout, but I think for Lockdown, there may be some stuff in there.
Yeah.
I haven't really actually gotten a close look at it to know.
Yeah, I mean, I studied some of the pictures to, like, I actually wanted to see what the flood looked like. But yeah, I don't know. Like, Blackout was just not one of those maps that I was, one of the remakes I was not a fan of. And I'm really glad they did an outstanding job for Lockout. What we've seen so far, it looks absolutely incredible.
Well, it has a lot of the original feel with it too, with it being cold, you know, on the, basically the wall of an ice cliff. And it's a lot. It's a lot more true to Lockout. I'm not denying that, but I personally didn't. I wasn't that, for lack of a better word, offended by Blackout. I know a lot of people did not like it with how it was remade and having a lot of the jumps broken and all that stuff. But you have to think it wasn't designed to be an exact remake. It was designed to be kind of
a reimagined.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand that, and I respect that, but it's just, I don't know, it just didn't feel right after knowing what it was coming off of. It felt uneasy, I guess, about it. I don't know, it felt weird.
Yeah, a lot of people felt that way, which is not surprising. But going back to the documentary, it's going to be lots of Halo content. I'm the only thing that kind of worries me about it is Bungie is due a lot of credit for Halo 2. And with the relationship that Microsoft and Bungie have right now, I don't see much going on between those two. And I just don't want this to completely leave Bungie out of the equation, because they made a solid game with Halo 2, and they deserve the credit for everything that was put into Halo 2. They really do.
Absolutely. I mean, Halo 2 is one of those games where when you say Halo, you think of it. Like, you think of the multiplayer, you think of the story, you know, you think of so many aspects of the game that they changed from the first one, and it made Halo what it is basically today. And they improved so many things with it, and it's for them to leave, but if they do leave Bungie, I don't think it's exactly going to feel right in a sense. Like, I don't know. I kind of have to agree with you on that one.
Right. So, anyways, that's going to be coming out. Again, there's a premiere on October 31st. I believe it's noon Pacific time, October 31st, which is 3 p.m. Eastern time. And there's two other streams as well. Actually, I'll see if I can pull it up real quick. And that's going to be going on, and I believe they're going to be released for free on November 11th. At least by the way it read, that was how it was going to be. So yeah, October 31st is a Friday for any of those who are wondering. It's actually going to be 11 a.m. Pacific time on October 31st. So make sure you check that out. If you don't hit one of the streams, I'm guessing because they're doing special showings of it, there's not going to be a VOD for it. But if you want to catch it, it's Friday, October 31st at 11 a.m. Pacific, Saturday, November 1st at 6 p.m. Pacific, and then Sunday, November 2nd at 6 p.m. Pacific on Xbox's Twitch channel, which is just twitch.tv/Xbox. lots of interviews, lots of stories, lots of behind the scenes for weapons, music, voice actors, character animations, all that good stuff. So if you're a hardcore fan of Halo, this is something you are going to not want to miss. Next up on the list is there was some other videos put out for the whole 1080p collection that IGN has been putting out. So we got Halo 3 and Halo 4 this week. And Halo 3, it actually stands up pretty well. I know when I was watching it in Benaroya Hall at PAX that it didn't seem like there was much noticeable improvement. I think that was partially because it was on projectors and it's kind of hard to pick out the details. But going through and seeing just how smooth the textures are and how crisp everything is and just how much it actually pops with that, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it looks really good. Like you said before, when you were looking at it up at PAX, I didn't really notice anything like on a stream, but now that I actually see it in full on the video, it does. It looks a lot better. I'm really surprised that them enhance it to 1080p. Just it would make that so many things pop like that.
Yeah, I was a little shocked how good it actually came out. And it was actually, you could, if you watch it on IGN, their video player supports 60 frames per second. So you get that right from the get-go, which I don't know if YouTube supports 60 frames per second or not, or maybe your account has to be a certain way, but I think that automatically encodes down to 30 frames per second.
I heard in November they're going to be supporting 60 frames per second. That's what I heard.
I'm wondering if that's because of 60 frames per second games are coming out. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's possible.
I would assume that's the reason why, but I could be wrong. We have a lot more, I think, feature films starting to come out in 60 frames per second too. So that would also maybe be another reason why they're kind of going in that direction. Because as technology gets cheaper, people are going to be making higher quality videos. So we've already seen, I think Video Game High School is 48 frames per second in action scenes, and then it's 4K as well. So there's definitely movements to take advantage of that higher resolution, higher frame rate and everything. So moving on, that was kind of really quick. Halo 4, it looks pretty smooth as well. I was more just taken aback by how good Halo 3 looked. I mean, did you have anything else to add to the Halo 4 1080p video that they put out?
Not really. I mean, there was little noticeable differences between the one now and on the Master Chief Collection. I didn't notice too much. Yeah, I mean, that was basically it. I was more occupied with Halo 3 and how that looked.
Yeah. So that was just one of those things like, wow, this game still kind of looks good in 1080p,
yeah,
which is great. Next thing up on the list is we're going to kind of jump around over to the Halo Waypoint side of things. So we had the trailer that was originally announced over there, and it got reposted on IGN. But they also announced Halo Fest 2014. And it's not the traditional Halo Fest that people are used to. So the Halo Fest this time around is going to consist of a tournament that is invite only. It's been sent out for 8 different captains to be leading teams for the weekend leading up to the release of the Master Chief Collection. So on November 8th and November 9th, there is going to be a tournament of 8 teams led by a lot of popular people that you know from Halo. So Hinds, Nated, Flamesword, T-Squared, Riots, Formal, Ninja, and Gandhi are all going to be leading their Halo 2 anniversary teams for the Invitational. And there's up to $50,000 worth of prizes. So first place is going to get $20,000 amongst the team. So it's going to be split out between probably all 4 players and a team captain. So just if you guys don't know the competitive scene that well, that's how it breaks down. Second place is $12,000. Third place is $6,000. Fourth place is $4,000. Fifth and sixth are $2,500. And seventh and eighth are $1,500. So all the teams are going to be walking away with some amount of money going towards this Invitational. This is going to be taking place in Los Angeles, or actually, I could be wrong. The tournament could be taking place. That's right. Sorry, my bad. The tournament itself is actually taking place in Burbank, California at ESL's headquarters. If you guys know, ESL was the company that put up the Gamescom Showdown and the PAX Prime Showdown. So they're essentially right now going to be the Halo tournament company for the most part. It's basically like the MLG, ALG replacement for Halo going forward for now. So that's going to be taking place, again, on November 8th and November 9th. And then we have another stream that's going to be coming up on November 10th, starting at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And that's going to consist of a lot of content as far as interviews goes. We're going to get the first showing of Nightfall, which is going to be pretty cool. And that's going to be taking place in the Avalon Theater in Los Angeles. So that is freaking huge. Again, it's not the typical Halo Fest, as for those that may have gone or may have heard of it before, is like it was a lot more community focused. They had a lot of displays up. It was actually held during PAX Prime the first time in 2011, celebrating the anniversary of 10 years of Halo for going up to that. So this is a little bit different than what you may remember for Halo Fest, but all is good. We're still going to get some pretty cool behind-the-scenes content for leading up to the Master Chief Collection. There's going to be interviews with developers, and everything is just going to be fine and dandy. Next up on the list of things to talk about is there's Halo Escalation issue number 11 out. And again, we haven't really focused too much on Escalation here. I think we're going to focus a little bit more on it after the Master Chief Collection comes out, because this focuses on stuff between Halo 4 and Halo 5, which is a pretty big connection point between Halo 2 and Halo 5 for the Master Chief Collection. Not sure how soon after the launch of the Master Chief Collection we'll get to this, but trust me, we will get to it soon. We're going to do Halo Initiation first, which is the comic series that came out before this, and then we'll dive into this afterwards. So I know people have been asking for lore on the podcast. We will get to it soon. I promise it's coming. It's just timing right now with all the news coming out with Halo, the Master Chief Collection. It's kind of hard to squeeze it in. Right, Bio?
Absolutely. there's a lot of stuff coming out.
So much stuff.
I mean, it's just really crazy that we have such a little time left and so much stuff is coming out between now and the November 11th. You know, we got the Viaduct, if you wanted the 40-minute video. We have Halo Fest. We have these tournaments coming up. It's really right. Crazy the amount of stuff that's popping up.
Right. The other thing that's going to be during the November 10th stream as well is the first gameplay of Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta that we'll get to see. That'll be fun.
I'm really excited for Master Chief Collection, but I'm really anxious to see where the next Halo's multiplayer is going to be, especially after everything they learned from Halo 4. You know, it's going to be really exciting.
It's like there's so much stuff. I don't know what to do with myself.
Halo is definitely keeping its fans on its toes. That's for sure, between content and just excitement.
Well, and we have so much stuff coming out. We have the Master Chief Collection, then we have the Spartan Strike, which is the follow-on to Spartan Assault. We have Escalation that's still coming out, and then we're going to have this big documentary behind Halo 2 and how they remade the anniversary, how they're going to do Halo 5 multiplayer beta, showing that on the launch day of Halo, the Master Chief Collection. It's just like they're constantly just feeding us information. And then we have the whole month's worth of coverage of IGN First on Halo.
Yeah.
It's just nuts. There's so much Halo content. It's great.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I mean, and the thing is, if we're going to have this much now, I can imagine what's going to happen for next year. You know, we have the Halo TV series by Steven Spielberg coming out. There we have, and I mean, it's just great. Like, I'm really loving the fact that they're going towards live action stuff. You know, we had Ford on Sedan, we have Nightfall, we have the TV show that's coming up. I'm really liking that they're expanding on different deals. Like, you know, if people aren't exactly going to be wanting to play the game, people can experience the Halo universe in different ways, which I think is really cool.
It's something that they're really trying to enter into the transmedia world. They really are.
Yeah.
And Pins actually posted in the chat, he said Broken Circle, and that's the book, the next novel that's coming out a week before the Master Chief Collection comes out.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did too. And so
that's crazy.
Just look at how much Halo content we're getting over the next 2 months.
Oh, I don't understand.
More like over the next month, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... Whew. And I mean, then we have the... At the very tail end of this year, we have the Halo 5 Guardians beta. That's right. Going to run 3 weeks. It's just crazy. You know, the
Halo... There's the Halo Mall, and... Yeah, that'll be coming out.
There's a lot to ingest right now. There's a lot to take in.
Heck yeah, there is. It's a great time to be a Halo fan. Let's just say that.
Absolutely.
There's a reason why I've been doing this podcast for over 6 years. I'll just say that. Which actually, come to think of it, I just passed up my 6-year anniversary doing Podtacular a couple weeks ago. That's so weird.
Wow.
October 2008 is when I started doing Podtacular.
Time flies.
Time does fly. Wow. I didn't even stop to think about that, honestly. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I was just having a discussion with a couple community members, and we were just saying, you know, it was just crazy how everybody thought that the Master Chief Collection was just going to be Halo 2 anniversary, and when people were saying, you know, it was going to be all the Halos in one, people didn't believe it. You know, it was just really crazy that we had all these rumors floating around, and then when this thing hits us, it's crazy. It really is.
I love Halo. What can I say?
I think we all do.
Yeah. Moving up the ladder of things to talk about, there is the documentary actually got a release date. So it got an initial trailer, and then it got an official trailer, which I'm still trying to figure out. Are they just like both trailers, or was one more a teaser and the next one's a trailer, or whatever? And that's when they talked about Halo, remaking the legend Halo 2 Anniversary was coming out on October 31st. So you can see both of those trailers. We have them posted up on our website, and you can also find them over on the Halo Waypoint YouTube channel as well. Moving over to a couple other things, the news this week is a little bit lighter compared to the previous weeks. They're really kind of getting into just finishing out some of the things that they've been talking about. I believe there's two more multiplayer maps that they're going to discuss. They haven't discussed Sanctuary or Shrine for the IGN First, and they're supposed to be doing every map, supposed to be talking about every map. And then there's, what other map have they not done yet? They've done Bloodline. They've done Stone Town. They've done, Lockout, Coagulation. They haven't done Ascension yet for this either. So I'm assuming that Ascension or Zenith and Shrine we'll probably see next week as they wrap up, if they're going to do those. I am right, by the way, they haven't shown those two, right?
Yeah. I was just thinking about that. I think you are right.
Okay. I didn't want to mix that up. So there's also the official Nightfall trailer that they released too, the actual cinematic trailer, not one of them talking about how or what this is supposed to be setting up with Locke's story and whatnot. So that trailer has also been released. That's up on Xbox's channel, and I believe it's also up on Halo Waypoint as well. So make sure you go check that out. It kind of shows a little more information into Nightfall, and there's actually a former Spartan 2 in there, believe it or not, and thanks to some posting on the forums, we know that the Spartan in there is ex-Spartan Randall 037, who was an actual missing Spartan 2 back in the day. So that's thanks to Bullfrog in the forum. So thank you for posting that for us. So it's interesting to see just that initial tie, and it makes me really curious on, are we going to see some of the other Spartan 2s in Halo 5 Guardians? Are we going to see Linda? Are we going to see Fred? Are we going to see some of these other Spartans that we've read about in the books and possibly be reintroduced into the game? Because that'd be freaking cool.
That'd be sick. I mean, one Spartan that I'm really hoping to maybe see a glimpse at again to know that everything is June. You know, we never really got the full story on what happened to him. You know, him and Halsey left on Reach. I mean, granted, I didn't read all the books, so I don't really know how that goes. But in the game world or whatever, we didn't really get much insight from that. So,
yeah, it's I know we've talked about it a little bit before on this podcast, how it would be nice to see them bring some of the characters back of John's original team that are still around. Because there's parts of the game, and they had a little more crossover with Halo 4 with the external fiction and narrative that has been put out there, where the games, when Bungie was doing them, was a little more isolated. And now with this kind of new merge of really pursuing the transmedia side of things for Halo, what 343 is trying to do with it, I would like to see a convergence, a little more solid convergence of the books with the game.
Yeah, it'd be a little bit easier for me. Like, well, I mean, like I read and I haven't read it. So them covering more story visually will be not only for me, but it'll be a lot easier for other people.
Right. So I'm excited to see what's coming up with Nightfall. The origin story for Locke is going to be good. No doubt about that. There's going to be a lot of tension between UNSC, Oni, that kind of stuff, which we've seen in the books before. And like you've said in past shows, Biowulf, it's a lot darker side of Halo filming that we've seen. I mean, the only thing we really have to go off of is Forward Into Dawn. And the, I guess the hype pieces that they, not the hype pieces, the piece that they did for Halo 3, the live action stuff. There's a term for that anyways. But compared to that, the storytelling of this looks very dark.
Yeah, it really does. It really has my interest. I mean, Forward Into Dawn, you know, it was cool, but it wasn't, I've said it before, you were learning from what was going on when the first time you seen Covenant. This isn't Covenant per se. This is something new. And to be going back on a ring that is completely destroyed, and you being able to, you only have 16 hours before to get out of there before the ring faces that sun. It's going to be really interesting to see. And there's a lot of mysterious stuff. You know, you don't know what's going on there. So there's one particular scene that a lot of people has seen, and it has a lot of controversy going on. And it's exciting. I really can't wait to see what Ridley Scott has in store for us and what 343 has in store for us.
Yep. It's going to be great. So excited. Let's see. What else is there? In the bulletin, there's another segment of Canon Fodder. I actually haven't had time to read it because we've been preparing for the extra live stream all week. But I do know it's kind of getting into the Halo 2 side of things now, because we are looking at a lead up to the story that's going to be told in Halo 2 Anniversary and starting that connection between what's happening in Halo 2, where Locke fits in with this, what, I guess, the focus on Halo 2 and how it pertains to Halo 5 and all that stuff. So take a look at it. It does have a lot of really good things in there. He does address the crossover between Halo 2 and Halo 3 ODST, the time frame there, which is a good thing to pay attention to. If you guys didn't know that, those are actually time crossovers. And then, actually, for the events of Halo 2 and ODST, I think ODST basically picks up right as Regret's carrier jumps out of New Mombasa. And then it ends right after Johnson gets back to Earth. How about that?
That's cool. That's it. That's really neat.
Did you ever really stop to think about that?
No, I really didn't. That really caught me off guard there for a second. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it starts at near the very beginning of Halo 2 and then it ends just after Halo 2.
I don't know. That was really cool. Halo 2 had that city when you're in New Mombasa. I like that. I really like what they did with ODST with that too. So, I mean, I can kind of see the similarity with that, but I didn't really think about it. That's crazy now that I think about it.
Uh-huh. It's going to be good. Grim also brings up a few mentions of the Great Schism and where Broken Circle is going to be putting a few dents in the Halo camp or the Halo universe overall. So we're going to get a little more info on that with the book. So he's kind of teasing this platform that Halo 2 is going to have to launch Halo 5 and where the book's going to play and all that good stuff. So if you are not too caught up on the lore from the Halo 2 era, kind of outside the game, then this is something that it would be worth reading. Just kind of refresh your mind on a couple things of maybe a few facts you've heard here and there about Halo 2 and all that good stuff. There is a lot of information in Contact Harvest as well, with kind of how the Covenant act. A lot of info behind the prophets and how they actually treat regarding some of the foreigner artifacts as well. So if you're looking for a book to read as well, I would highly recommend right now Contact Harvest. So there you go. That wraps it up pretty much for the bulletin as well. There's also the screenshot spotlight, which is Exile. And they're, I guess they're sticking with 4 screenshots now instead of doing the 10 like they've done before. But one of our good friends, Receptor 17, he had a screenshot that made it this week. So way to go, dude. It's cool to see you still getting up there on the spotlight, even though the looks like the requirements are a little more strict now, which is, you know, to see that you're up there. That's cool. He's our resident Welshman over here. He pops in every now and then. He's more of the Griffball side of things, but he comes over every once in a while. I don't see him on the stream tonight, but that is, he comes over once in a while.
Yeah, I seen him tweet about that earlier this week that he was on the spotlight.
So that is going to pretty much wrap it up for the news portion of what's going on. Next week, we'll be following up on all the IGN first stuff as we wrap up the coverage with that. Then it's going to be very, very close to the launch of the Master Chief Collection. We are just over 2 weeks away from it being out. And I am super, super excited.
Yeah, it's getting close. It's getting really close, man. I'm counting the days.
I know, dude. It's. I'm waiting for my copy to get here. I really am. I want to play it because there's people that are already playing it, which kind of ticks me off a little bit. But you know, can't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's the thing is, it's like it's mocking me on my Xbox dashboard. Like it's just sitting right there. I have it pinned, and it's like, soon.
You know, it's like. It's not that far away, but it seems like forever. That's the feeling that I get with this.
Yeah. Yeah, the anticipation is what makes it seem longer.
I know. At least Extra Life, we have the stuff to kind of keep us going through this and making it to the end, hopefully. But again, for those that are listening post-show, we are recording this during our Extra Life live stream, which is a 24-hour charity event raising funds for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, which goes out to a bunch of children's hospitals throughout the country, including up in Canada, too. So if you're over here in the North America region, it's a bunch of hospitals networked together. And it's for a good cause. If you guys are listening to us live now, go donate, please. And you don't even have to donate during the event. It's just it's the time to help kind of focus on raising funds for this. And it's really cool just to see gamers come out and really support efforts like this and to show, yeah, we're not people that are just touting guns and shooting things virtually every single day or slicing things with swords or racing each other off roads and all or beating each other with clubs and stuff like that. We're people that genuinely care, even though it doesn't sound like we care with the things that I've just listed off. I'd be a horrible spokesperson.
Oh man, that was great.
Anyways, so that's kind of the bulk of the news. Again, we got the announcement for Halo Fest, which is going to be the weekend before the launch of the Master Chief Collection, which includes the Invitational Tournament, which is going to happen on November 8th and 9th at ESL headquarters in California. And then on November 10th is going to be streaming the world premiere of Halo Nightfall, along with some back behind the scenes, some interviews from some of the developers, and the first gameplay we'll see of the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta. And we also have the announcement of remaking the Legend Halo 2 anniversary documentary that will be premiering on October 31st at 11 a.m. Pacific time, and then it'll be re-aired on November 1st and November 2nd at 6 p.m. Pacific time, all on twitch.tv/Xbox. We also have the two 1080p videos for Halo 3 and Halo 4. We have the walkthrough of Stonetown that got released this week as well, which is the remake of Zanzibar. And then we have Halo Escalation issue number 12 that got released this week as well, and the trailer for Nightfall. So those are the highlights for this week, and we will be back again next week to cover some more of the highlights as things go along. Thanks everyone for tuning into our podcast recording for this Extra Life live stream. We really appreciate you guys coming out here. For everyone that has donated so far to us, we really appreciate the effort that you've put forward in doing that, and we hope that some of you guys can help donate to the cause or come by next year. We're hoping to make this bigger next year, maybe to get some more Halo communities involved, maybe make this a bigger thing, get 343 involved, just have a giant Halo presence going into this thing. That'd be super, super cool. And we would like you guys to be there. So, with that said, we have the Grunt Plushie to give away. So, anyone that's in the chat, you are eligible to win a Grunt Plushie, which is cool. You guys just need to tweet out, "I want a Grunt Plushie," from @PodTackler on Twitter. And if you link to that tweet in the Twitch chat, then you will be selected, or you'll be one of the guys up for grabs. So actually make that "I want a Grunt Plushie" from @PodTackler, supporting what is it, @ExtraLife4Kids? Is that their Twitter?
I think so.
Yeah. So do that and report back here, and we will give that Grunt Plushie to you. No one yet? Nope. Oh, there's a delay on the stream. That's right. I totally forgot about the delay. I was like, I'm waiting for my tweet deck to pop up with something.
Yeah.
I forgot about the delay. So while we wait for that to go on, thank you everyone for tuning in. Please make sure you check out our website, podtackler.com, and check out Extra Life. That's extra-life.org. While you're there, please consider donating to our team. And if not our team, donate to someone that someone else that's possibly doing it. I know Rooster Teeth is doing it. There's a couple of Griffballers that are doing it. And there's someone prominent in the gaming industry that you probably know that's doing Extra Life. So please donate. It's for a good cause. It's something that is going to go really far for children's hospitals everywhere. And we really appreciate all the time and effort that you guys have spent today watching us and everything that you've done to help out with the Extra Life campaign. Remember, you can check us out normally on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, except for now we've kind of transitioned stuff to the weekend so we can capture all the news that's been going on with IGN first. After the launch of the Master Chief Collection, we will be returning to our normal Thursday time slot at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We also have game nights that happen on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, which is also at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time as well. Tactical Tuesday is our matchmaking night and achievement hunting night, and Wacky Wednesday is our customs night, which you can guarantee we'll be doing a lot of when the Master Chief Collection comes out. You can also find us on our social networks, which is Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and of course Twitch, where you're hearing us live here right now. Make sure you also check out the podcast network. That is thepodka.st, or no, it's podka.st. And we have, we're networked with some really cool podcasts, including Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, and Reachcast, which is a PlantSide 2 podcast, along with Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. So those are some really cool gaming podcasts that are really good to listen to if you're looking for some other kind of gaming related news to listen to, or if you're looking for some other places to possibly jump in. Those are some really good podcasts to listen to. All the guys have really good quality podcasts. They know what they're talking about, and it's just really cool to see some other game podcasts just kind of live up to that reputation. So make sure you go check them out. Again, that's podka.st. that will be it for our podcast tonight. We will be coming back with what's up for the next thing on the list. We'll be coming up with Halo 3 campaign following this in approximately 15 minutes. For those on the live stream, we will see you in 15 minutes. And for those on the podcast, thank you for listening so much. This has been episode 448. We will see you guys next time. Keep on fragging 1080p.